Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Nice to have you here. Today is the 530th birthday of Martin Luther. So here you are in a Lutheran church. His whole statement was sola gratia, sola venitia, sola scriptura. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. And that was his watchword. And so 530 years. Yeah, that's just like the Catholic Church, I suppose. Go back to the Latin. Also, tomorrow's Veterans Day. In the first service, we had two fellas that were in World War II. Les Bulkey and Lloyd Lilienthal. Les shot a small repeating, some kind of like a Gatling gun thing. And Lloyd was on a big battleship shooting the big shells. So, interesting stories. Thanks. Anyone here, veterans? Thank you for your service. Appreciate that a lot. Remember your comrades tomorrow on Veterans Day. A couple of other announcements. Funeral for Darlene Vorlachek, Tuesday morning. Darlene and Bob moved from down by Agate Bay about a year ago down to Buffalo. One of the heartbreaks of my job is all you folks who get old and can't take care of your lake places, you have to move away. So if anyone hits the lottery this week, think about putting up a high-rise for us, all right? Then we can just stay put. Anyway, we'll keep Bob and his family in our prayers. Operation Christmas Child, going to be packing shoeboxes after worship today, so if you can stay and help for that, that'd be good. I think there's a couple of spots left for we're going down to Coon Rapids to pack food bags for Feed My Starving Children. There's a sign-up sheet for that. Also, remember this week, the people in the Philippines, I heard this morning over 10,000 dead already with that typhoon that blew through there. They don't have houses and buildings like we do that can stand up to things, but it sounds like that's one of the worst typhoons ever rolling through. So it's going to be a lot of heartache over there, so they're going to need our prayer support as well as anything else we can do. It's nice to have you here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives, your Spirit that is always with us. Remind us today that you have forgiven us and you do love us, and that you'll always be there no matter what events occur in our life that might lead us astray. You're traveling with us and we with you. And so today, allow your Spirit to stir in our lives and in our hearts, that we can see you and your hand at work wherever we travel this week. We'll send your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're opening hymn, I Just Came to Praise the Lord.
You'll see four verses in there. We'll have, you would sing the first three with us, and Jim will sing the fourth, and then we come back in on I Just Came to Praise the Lord.
I just came to praise the Lord. just came to praise the Lord.
Please rise. We open our worship in the name of God, the Father of glory, in the name of God, the Son, our Redeemer, in the name of God, the Holy and life-giving Spirit. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Gracious God, we acknowledge that we are sinners and we confess our sins. Those known to us that burden our hearts, and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed. Free us from the slavery of sin, liberate us from the bondage of guilt, and work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With the heart of full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ, the dawn from on high, shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit guides our feet into the way of peace. From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, our eternal Redeemer, by the presence of your Spirit, you renew and direct our hearts. Keep always in our mind the end of all things and the day of judgment. Inspire us for a holy life here, and bring us to the joy of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The 10,000 Reasons, we're going to have you sing with us. We did that as an anthem last month, so we would like you to sing with us, and that is in your bulletin. It's based on Psalm 103. It's a hymn to God's love and compassion towards his people. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So join us.
Thank you. first reading is from Job 19:23-27a. Job suffers the loss of children, wealth, and health. Accused by his companions of wrongdoing, he knows himself to be innocent. Here, in the midst of his suffering, Job clings to the radical hope that his vindicator, his redeemer, lives, and that one day he himself will see God. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. The psalm today is 98. Please respond to the bold print, and the refrain is, "In righteousness will the Lord judge the world." Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of nations. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. In righteousness will the Lord judge the world. Sing to the Lord with the harp, with the harp and the voice of song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the world and those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Righteousness will the Lord judge the world. Please stand for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 25th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 20th chapter of St. Luke. The Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, try to trap Jesus. They formulate the convoluted case of a serial widow who marries a succession of seven brothers. Jesus responds by teaching about God, to whom all are alive and in whom all relationships are fulfilled. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Just As I Am," 592. Just as I am. Isn't that what Billy Graham used to play on his call forward, altar calls? We've got a member here who always says, Pastor, you should be having these altar calls. You always just go so far and then you stop. I'll tell you more about that next week. This lesson today is an interesting lesson, interesting gospel lesson, huh? So we're going to focus some thoughts on that. But as I read it this week, I thought of a story. A woman was telling me that she got married while her husband was still in college, and they incurred all these debts and ended up having four kids. And when one of the daughters was 4 years old, they were invited to the youngest sister's wedding. And when the pastor came to the part in the wedding vows where he said, you are entering into marriage for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part. You promised to take those vows. The little girl leaned over and whispered to her mother, Mommy, you and Daddy chose for poorer, didn't you? Well, there are worse things than choosing for poorer, huh? Marriage is in difficult straits these days. Maybe we can learn something from our Russian friends. I understand that in Russia, the best man, when they sign up for the wedding license, signs a document saying that he will make sure that the groom stays married for 6 months. Otherwise, there's a penalty of 150 rubles if he doesn't stay married for 6 months. Now, that would mean something, but 150 rubles boils down to about $4.80. So I'm not sure that's going to stop anybody. Now, in our gospel lesson today, we have a very interesting question. A group of religious figures come to Jesus about marriage. It's unique, but I think that's what makes it interesting that Luke talks about this. It's, he's the only gospel writer that has this story. Question is posed to Jesus by the Sadducees. Sadducees were the religious conservatives of their time. They accepted only what was written in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. The Pentateuch is another word for the first five books. And if it wasn't in the Pentateuch, if it wasn't in the Torah, then it didn't really have much concern about faith. It wouldn't fly. So this whole business of life in the age to come, heaven and resurrection, or hell, they weren't even in, nothing's written in the Torah about that, so they didn't really have a belief in the resurrection. If you died, you died, and you were buried, and that was it. That's why they were, well, the way I remember, they were Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection, that's why they were Sadducee. Yeah, that's the everyone laughs, but that's the way the Finlander mind works, and that's the way I remembered that. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Nothing about eternal life. So those things couldn't be taught in the faith, according to the Sadducees. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. Now, because of their faith, that it was restricted to the first five books of the Bible, they didn't have the benefit of the writing of our first lesson, Job. They didn't pay attention to Job. Did you notice when Carol read that? A fine statement. Job, written about 500 years before Christ, had a statement of heaven. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives. This is 500 years before Christ. And that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. According to the Sadducees, there's no such thing as a resurrection, though. So the question they pose to Jesus is a surprising thing, because they talk about heaven. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, this man must marry a widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her in the same way. The seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. And then they ask the question, now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Since the men were married to her. Seven men were married to her. Now, that's a pretty grim story. I think you might find that story in Grimm's fairy tales. We could call it A Bride for Seven Brothers. Forgetting for the minute the absurdity that the Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. They're trying to trick Jesus up. We've got this this question about whose wife will she be at the resurrection. Think about the women in that society. They were just property. So this is basically a story of the brother having this property, this woman, and the guys want to keep the property in the family, so they hand it down to the second brother and third brother and down to the seventh brother, and they all die, but they just pass the property along, just like we do in our wills. We pass the property on to our kids and whoever else. Some of it, some of us leave it to the church, by the way. Anyway, they left it to the family. And so then in this scenario, the woman was passed on to seven brothers. She outlives them all, but then she dies, and whose brother or whose bride is she in the resurrection? It's a trick question, like I said. These folks just wanted to get Jesus in trouble with the people. But Jesus is accustomed to scholars attempting to fool him and to trick him. But this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is a rabbi who understands all of Scripture. This is straight from God himself, so he can answer anybody any question. I mean, Jesus knows what's going on here. So Jesus says, replies to him, he says, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they're like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." In this gospel lesson, three things, major things happen. First of all, he meets the Sadducees where they are. They only hold the Torah, so he's going to answer by the Torah. Give them an answer they can understand. Second, he speaks to an uncertainty that many people have about marriage. Are you married for eternity? When you get married, are you married forever and ever and ever? And the third thing is probably he answers the most important question of all of life. Is there a resurrection? Is there eternal life? Three things are important in this simple little story. And I want to focus a few thoughts on each one this morning. The first point is that Jesus meets the Sadducees where they're at. Sadducees were people of the Torah, as we already said. They only believed in the first five books of the Bible. If something wasn't in the Torah, then it wasn't part of their faith. So Jesus answers them from the Torah. And he turns to the third chapter of Exodus, the story of Moses and the burning bush. Some of you might remember it. Moses goes up to Mount Horeb, and he sees this bush, and he wanders over, and he hears the voice of God saying, "Moses, this is holy land." He says, "Take your sandals off because the place you're standing is holy ground." And then in that scripture, the voice of God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And this is a wonderful story of faith. Now these biblical literalists who only talked about the first five books of the Bible, what Jesus is saying is, Moses didn't say, "I was the God of Abraham, I was the God of Isaac, I was the God of Jacob." He said, I am in the present, I am still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if you're a biblical literalist, as these Pharisees or Sadducees were, that means that God is still alive to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that there's a life hereafter. God is not the God of the dead, Jesus said. He's the God of the living. And he still is the God of the living Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's his argument. That's Jesus' argument. I am the God. And so he answers the Sadducees in a way they could understand. That God is still alive. That God is still there. That he is still the God of These people who have been dead for generations and generations. If we come from another faith, Jesus will show us answers about himself in ways we understand. That's the first point. Jesus always comes to us where we are, if we are willing to open our hearts to him and to turn ourselves over to him. That's the first thing that Jesus does for the Sadducees. That's what he does for us too. He will come to us if on our level, if we bring questions and thoughts and concerns to him. Huh? He meets us where we are. That's the first thing. Secondly, he answers an uncertainty that many good people have about marriage. This poor woman had outlived seven husbands. I mean, if this was a television show, you'd wonder what kind of arsenic she's putting in the juice. I mean, this is kind of a sad story, you know. Now, that's just an aside. I don't want to go there today. Huh? But she outlived seven brothers, so whose wife will she be in heaven? And I doubt that many of us lie awake at night wondering about whether we're going to still be married in heaven. We're pretty sophisticated people. We understand that marriage in this world is primarily defined as a physical relationship. In fact, the breaking of that relationship, which in the scripture is adultery, is strictly defined in physical terms. That's what breaks up a marriage in the scriptures. Heaven isn't a physical place. It's a spiritual place. That's what Jesus is telling us. We don't know what our spiritual bodies are going to look like, but evidently they're not going to require us to live as husbands and wives. We even say that in our vows, till death do us part. Then the marriage covenant, the marriage promise, is over. That might be a relief to some people in the room. I hope not, but it's possible. In fact, in my first parish, I was up on the Iron Range, Embarrass Township and Pike Township, two little churches. I, wet behind the ears, preacher, green, didn't understand what's going on. I had to preach on this lesson. I had no concept. Afterwards, shaking hands, one of the 82 to 84-year-old Finlanders goes by and shakes my hand and squeezes my hand until I'm almost bending over. And he says, "Pastor, that's the best sermon I ever heard preached." And I says, "Really? Really?" I says, "Why do you say that, Emil?" Emil says, "Because if I have to live with that woman in eternity forever, I'd just rather go to hell." Well, you know. Yeah, exactly. There are all kinds of good people who outlive their spouses. I mean, in fact, if we're married, half of us are going to outlive our spouses. That's a fact. 100% of us in this room are going to die. Half of us will outlive our spouses if we're married. Now, we don't want to be morbid about it, but death is a part of life. It's a part of the circle of life. And it's just the way things are set up. But we are promised resurrection, eternal life, one day. And half of the spouses will one day be left behind. For most of us, that'll be a time of deep grief and deep heartache and lots of wonderful memories, I hope, and lots of sacrifice and lots of love. Eventually, however, the question might arise, should I take a new partner? Would that be a betrayal of the great love I have for my spouse that we shared together? It's an emotional question. Some of us have already dealt with that question in this congregation. You may have discovered that it's more emotional for your children than it was for you. I mean, sometimes children particularly can make their parents feel guilty for all the wrong reasons. But the biblical answer to this question would be, by all means, marry, if that's where your heart leads you. Marriage is only for this world. Your beloved former spouse, who's now resurrected, lives with God, lives in a different kind of world that knows no marriage. It only knows pure and unrestricted love. It's a whole different scheme of things going on in heaven. So you don't need to feel any guilt. No sense of betrayal that someone else fills the loneliness that you're finding in your life, okay? Remember those vows, till death do us part? And that's the promise we make when we get married. So that's the second issue. Third issue brings us to Jesus' most important teaching in this whole thing, I think. In this lesson, Jesus answers unequivocally the most pressing question in life: is there life beyond the grave? And the answer he gives is yes. There definitely is life beyond the grave. There is a resurrection. He not only gave us an answer with his lips, but he gave it with his life. Remember the story of the women going to the open tomb? He lives. He lives. That's what they reported, those women, the empty grave. He's alive, and he still is alive. He still lives. I know to some of us this might be too good to be true, but he lives with us now. He walks with us now. His spirit is in every bit of his creation. I was reading a history that was done on Winston Churchill this past summer. Everybody knows he was the past Prime Minister of Britain. He was the one who almost single-handedly rallied the British people in the darkest days of World War II, when the armies of Hitler were poised to cross the English Channel and invade the island. Well, before he died, he planned his own funeral. It was going to be at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. The service itself was significant in every way. Mighty fine liturgies and choirs and music. And then at the end of the service, on one side of the cathedral, taps began to play. And taps, you know, is the traditional melody that a bugler plays signaling either the end of the day or the end of a soldier's life. And just as they played the final part of taps on the other side of the cathedral, another trumpeter started playing reveille. Reveille is traditionally the melody that they sing for a coming of a new day. It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning. And that was Winston Churchill's way of saying that though he was dead, he expected to get up on the day of the resurrection. There's a day of the resurrection, and he knew it was there. And that's my belief as well. I have that expectation that I'm going to rise in the presence of God. This is Jesus' most important teaching, a teaching that he conveys with his lips and with his life. He lives. Life beyond the grave is a reality. It's the promise. It's what happens. And because he lives, we too shall live, says Job. And then Jesus closes this lesson out by saying, God is not the God of the dead, but for the living who are all alive in him. And that's our God, and that's our promise. This might give you something to think about this week. Amen. God's peace and love be with us now and always. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. If you turn in your blue books to hymn 748, 748, Bind Us Together. Blue books 748.
Bind us together.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 5. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For your church, that it may be a living witness to your love for all people, and your redeeming grace to a world in need of good news, let us pray. For the glorious splendor of your creation and for its continual care, that future generations may praise your works, let us pray. For your steadfast love and faithfulness to those in prison, the innocent wrongly accused, and the victims of violence and abuse, let us pray. For comfort, strength, and hope to those who suffer illness, grieve loved ones, or lie close to death, especially remember in our prayers Bob Vorlachek as he mourns the loss of his bride, Darlene. Comfort them in their grief and sorrow. Be with Darwin as he fights his cancer. Be with Ron Hass, Ron Richter, and all those in our church and in our lives who need your healing touch. Let us pray. For the Spirit of Christ who gathers this assembly together and unites us to one another in relationships of mutual care and support, let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Veterans Day and all those veterans who have protected the values of the United States through the ages. We thank you for keeping them in your loving care. We pray, O Lord, for those who are in the hunting fields and the trees and forests this weekend. Be with them throughout the season and keep them safe. We thank you for people like Martin Luther who stood for what is right and true and just. And we pray, O Lord, that you might smile upon our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. Keep them safely in your care. In thanksgiving for the children of God and of the resurrection, and that day when we too shall see you face to face, let us pray. To your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May God, who loves us, who gives us eternal consolation and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever. Let's join in hymn number 888 in your red books. 888, O beautiful for spacious skies.